Hi everyone, I'm Joel Gould and welcome to the new edition of NRL.com's Pearls Preview Pod. We're coming to you from the QRL studio in Brisbane and I'm with Steve Renoff, Broncos legend, Queensland legend and World Cup winner. Steve.
Thanks Joel, you got that there.
There's your resume, Steve, there's more to it than
Thanks,
that.
Thanks mate.
A great weekend of football that we've just seen and starting bang on Anzac Day again.
Back on tomorrow and mate, it's... it was another great round of rugby league in the NRL.
Well, we're going to preview the eight NRL games in round seven we're coming up to. It's unbelievable. We've had a quarter of the season gone already. It's incredible to think. But, Steve, look, you wrote an interesting column last week, I thought, on the Broncos and how they're at. Look, a team, like a fine watch, just out of sync. And they remain that at this point in time. And they also remain in a very difficult position on the ladder with two competition points after six rounds. We've got a quarter of the way through the season. If they replicated that for four quarters of the season, they'd finish with 8 points plus two for a bye. So they'd be on 10. Of course, that would be absolutely diabolical. I don't expect that will happen, but it's getting to almost like crisis. We talk about crises in journalism.
Joel, definitely crisis situation. I mean, we used to, without comparing back to when we played, we were in crisis mode when we lost three in a row, and that was always the case because we'd have Porky Morgan come and chat to us, so we knew we were in crisis.
Is that what would happen?
Yeah, we'd three in a row, and we thought, oh, well, Porky will be here at the next team meeting, giving us a serve.
And would he
subtly,
do that?
Yeah, subtly give us a serve. So, it was obviously very different back in the day that we used to always say we were in a crisis at three losses in a row, which we very rarely did.
No,
over that term there of the Broncos. But, this team at the moment, we made that comment last week about this, watch that needs tuning. But tell you what, they didn't help the cause on the weekend, to be honest, with their performance. A little bit disappointing, and it's just really hard to see where they're at, to be honest. We can keep saying, well, they'll win a game, and I thought Kevin Walters was very polite on the radio the other day and talking about them and saying they'll have a win and they'll have a run of wins if they can just get that win up. But I tell you what, it's getting further and further away, I think.
Well, that is a concern, isn't it? That's the feeling, that it is getting further away. You've been tipping them a lot, thinking that he's going to turn around.
And I'm doing my head in the tipping competition, I tell you.
I understand your faith, Steve, and I know how much you want them to win. We will come back to the Broncos shortly when we look at their Saturday night home clash, this time against the Cronulla Sharks, and that won't be an easy game by any means. Okay, well, let's have a look at the rounds that we've got coming up. Firstly, we have this blockbuster on Anzac Day. Well, we've got two, actually.
Yeah.
We've got two blockbusters. Firstly, we've got the Dragons up against the Roosters. The Dragons won this game last year, 24-8, and it's always a game on the calendar that it gets us going. We love to watch this match. It's special on a day that's special to all Australians and New Zealanders for obvious reasons. For the Roosters, well, they have a slight problem here, but it's only slight. It's only slight when you think of who the replacement is. But Luke Keary obviously had that nasty knock.
Yes.
He's been ruled out due to that concussion that he suffered in the Golden Point win over Melbourne. So Luttrell, who was rampant there on the left side early in that game, will wear the number six jersey. We've got Joseph Manu back. He's partnering Mitch Orbison in the centres. We've got Jake Friend back from injury to start at hooker. Radley back to lock. Tedovano's on the bench. And Lachlan Lamb's also on the bench. So, and the Dragons, not a change from their win over Manly. How's this going to work, do you think, again for the Roosters with Luttrell playing at number six?
I think that might be a little bit of a risk. I mean, you'd like to, I think the general look at it, there you go, well, Luttrell gets the ball in his hands, but, he is, an out-and-out centre. To bring him into six, he did mention that earlier in the year that he'd love to play number six, and this is his opportunity, obviously, with Keary out. And I think they'll miss Keary because you've got to remember the role he plays in that team and guiding that team around. Can Latrell do that? Can he guide that team around? Or just wanting to go in there and be an individual, which he is. You know, as a centre, you're a bit of an individual out there, and you run the ball, and I can see their thought around doing it. I think it's a danger game for them, to be honest, especially with that injury to Keary. And good on the HIO, you know, that they're sticking by that, because that was a fair knock. And sometimes they can force players back, or players will want to come back and play. But this match I'm really looking forward to. St George are playing some really good footy at the moment. They're very happy with where they are. And it's going to be the clash in the middle that everyone's going to be looking forward to.
It is. And look, this is very even in the middle, really. You've got James Graham and Vaughan up against Taukeiaho and Warrior Hargraves. You've got Corden, Crichton and Radley up against Frizzell, Sims and Laurie. I guess you'd have to say the Roosters probably have the edge there, but only just.
Just by experience more than anything.
Yeah, and I suppose Laurie, I mean, no knock on Laurie, but Radley's just such a class above, isn't he, as a lock forward, I think, in the game today. Ben Hunt's just doing everything right. He showed once again against Manly that he wants to be there. He wants to be involved when the game's on the line. I'm really impressed with him and the way the spine's working as well. So it's a game. It's very hard to pick who might win it.
Yeah, I suppose then you look at the previous weeks and, you know,
the Roosters in Melbourne, yeah.
Roosters had to really put in, would that game affect them that way emotionally and physically against the Storm? You know, that was a pretty full-on match for them. And, you know, they're running into on Thursday night with this match. So, you know, you'd wonder whether that's affected them a bit. Could be a few nigglies there. So it's going to be a very close match.
It is. Well, they're both on a really good run at the moment. Yeah. The Roosters have won 5 in a row. The Dragons have won 4 in a row. And the thing I've liked about the Dragons is their ability to win the close games. And they've prevailed when it counted, scoring late. Trying to have some controversy there. Manly unlucky not to get at least a penalty at the end there. So that was, a bit of fortune. But the Dragons still had to score late to get in that position. To win the game. I'm tipping the Dragons here. I know I'm a Dragons supporter, but I do think this is a game. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Steve, where that game against the Storm would have taken a lot out of the Roosters, I think, emotionally and physically.
I'm going to agree, Joel. I just think that, like I said, emotionally, more than anything, that's taken out. They've lost Keary. I think having, I've gone blank here. The Latrell at 6 is a bit of a risk. I really do believe that. You can get in there and be a bully, but I don't know how much you can run the team around like Keary does. I know they still, will have Kronk there, but him having him at 6, it'll be interesting. But I'm going for the Dragons on this one.
Yep. Okay. Well, that Thursday night we have the Melbourne Storm hosting the Warriors, and any other time. When you look at a side like the Storm up at the top, a side like the Warriors down the bottom, but this is a clash that has great history. The Warriors have been a bit of a bogey side for Melbourne over the years, and on Anzac Day we've got the Australian team and the New Zealand team, so it's pretty special. Cameron Smith spoke about that during the week, about why that was such a poignant fixture. This is such a poignant fixture considering the day. The Melbourne's unchanged from the side that lost to the Roosters in Golden Point. Stephen Kearney's made a few changes, good ones from the Warriors' point of view, with Blake Green. Hopefully he's been named to return after those two games out with the groin. And Peter Hicker's back where he belongs in the centres. And Jared Beale's in for Satua. So, really, any other day of the week, you'd say this was a game the Melbourne Storm's blitz.
I think there's going to be, obviously, a lot of passion in this game. And I think, you always sort of watch a team like the Storm when they either come off a loss, which they have, or they didn't play that well the week before. And you usually see them react to that. Obviously, that then comes from Cam Smith and, obviously, Craig Bellamy. The team gets a bit of a roll up. So, look, I'm gonna back the Storm here. I think they'll win this comfortably. I'm just not sure about the Warriors. you know, and I know there's going to be a lot of passion in this, but I think the Storm, even though, you know, they lost last week, they confided that, you know, the benchmark is the Roosters, but I just think they'll be too good for the Warriors.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, there's Adam Blair's copped a bit of a razz in the New Zealand press for some of his performances of late. There's question marks over whether he should have been signed for so long. I think he does need to lift. This is a game against his old club where I expect he will. Interestingly, Steve, when you did tip the Melbourne Storm to win that game against the Roosters and you said you thought Smith would be the difference. Well, how true that nearly turned out to be. I still think Cameron Smith's the best player I have seen. I thought it was Lewis for a long, long time, even though I was only young when I watched him, but I still thought I watched him through the 80s and I thought he was the best.
But
in my mind, Cameron Smith is the best player I've seen. I think we saw it in that game, the way he slowed it down, the way he created things. The way every move he made was like he knew what was going to happen in advance. And that's his great ability, isn't it? He's phenomenal. Footballer.
He is, mate.
The vision of a man is just extraordinary. Yeah.
There was call during the week, you know, that, you know, one of the legends of the game, you know, made that he's the best football he's seen, you know, whether I think it was Paul Gallen ever. You know, that's even over the top of Wally Lewis, the likes of Wally Lewis, and you know, he's got to go very close to that mantle, you know, wearing that mantle. So I'll tell you another player in the Storm press is Felice Kaufusi. He's looking good. I mean, he's a shoo-in obviously for the Queensland, but geez, he's playing some tough footy this year. Just his work rate and you know, he's some of the sting in his tackles. He's transformed himself a bit this year, I thought.
Yeah, well, his last year was very good. Obviously, on the back of that premiership-winning side in 17, and then I thought last year he was good as well.
Well, he's continuing that on. I've been very impressed. He's been a bit of a standout there.
He is. He's come along a long way, and he's one of the best back rowers in the game. There's no doubt about that for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, he whacks. He's a great line runner. He's in everything. So, okay. Well, we're both agreed there. The Melbourne Storm should win that game. Friday at ANZ Stadium, we've got the Bulldogs up against the Cowboys, and I thought both showed a lot of fight. Last week, the Bulldogs in a losing side to South Sydney, and the Cowboys in a winning side over the Warriors. There's a few changes here. Rhys Martin's starting. A name to start, although Adam Elliott may well do that. For the Cowboys, Taumalolo has been named on an extended reserves bench 2 weeks ahead of schedule from his return from injury. That's an interesting sign. It just shows that he's close. We're not quite sure at this point. We're recording this on Wednesday. We're not sure if he's going to play. But it's good signs for the Cowboys there that he's not far away. And I really liked, I don't know if you liked it as well, Steve, really loved Michael Morgan's performance down there in New Zealand, where he came up with a great grubber kick for a try. He came up with a 40-20 end of the field goal. He did a lot of really good things when the game needed something.
Yeah, and that's right. I mean, look, we've been sort of waiting for Morgan to kick in, and he showed that on the weekend that, you know, what he does have there in his playing kit. You know, obviously, kicking game was pretty dominant for him, and that's what you need out of a player like him. And so important, the kicking game in today's game. And he did that really well, and it'd be good to see him back that up. Against the Doggies. Look, I'm impressed with the Dogs. I mean, really, the game against the Rabbits, the Rabbits only just got that match, to be honest, and been pretty impressed with their attitude change with the Bulldogs. Obviously, Cowboys getting their second win, they'd have to be pumped after that. They want to carry it on with another win. So this is going to be a tight one. But I'm going to go for the Dogs. I think Canterbury, just at that point, you know, they've just missed out here and there. And I think they might, come over top of the Cowboys.
Yeah, I was really impressed with them. They just lacked a bit of polish, didn't they, in the halves. When the game was there to be won, they just didn't really... I mean, I like Lachlan Lewis. I think he's a wonderful player. But he just didn't quite nail it there when there were opportunities to get within 2 points of South Sydney. And I don't think we can forget Aidan Tolman's performance. Oh, I thought he was the best player on the field.
His energy,
his passion. Talk about one percenters. He did all that and more, though. It was just a wonderful performance. He really led the forward pack, and that's a really good sign for Canterbury, especially in the absence of quite a few players, really, but Dylan Napa and those sort of guys. So I'm tipping Canterbury to win this game too. I think they're due a win, and they deserve one.
Yeah.
But then again, the Cowboys, if Taumalolo does play in this game, I'm presuming he's not playing.
I don't think he will.
I'm presuming he's not. If he was, I would might be swing the Cowboys, but I'm going with the Bulldogs. There was a huge game out at Panthers Stadium on Friday night between the Panthers and the Rabbitohs. Once again, we're here on Wednesday. I think developments today will unfold regarding Phil Gould, who said that basically his job's done at the Panthers, even though he signed a 5-year extension recently. It looks like he is on his way out of the club. I mean, it gives Ivan Cleary a bit of clear air, I guess, to run the football side of things. With Gus gone, we know that Phil did a wonderful job there, and it's been spoken about by the club and by commentators too, that the club was in real dire straits when he took over there as the supremo. And since that time, financially back on track, off the field on track.
Financially on track. It was a little bit exaggerated. Turned it into this powerhouse. I did see that written somewhere. And
what's a powerhouse?
Well, a powerhouse if you're winning grand finals, mate, to be honest.
I agree with that.
I don't think he bought one of them to him. But, you know, there's a lot of things politically going on there. And, you know, it's probably best not. I've mentioned this before. When you've got a figurehead like Gus Gould there, As a head coach, you don't want to go in under someone like that, like Gus Gould or a Wayne Bennett. Wayne's, talked about being coaching director, but, you want to come in as head coach and not have that floating over your head. And I can see why there's been a bit of tension, and obviously with stuff's happened there, but, probably better for all that Gus has moved on, I think. And I think Ivan Cleary, it will give him a clear head without that floating above his head, to be honest.
Yeah, well, there are some figures in the game that I like to use an expression that they're above the fray.
Yeah.
And Phil Gould's definitely one of those. Yeah. I think Bob Fulton's one of those. They're above the fray, and they're used to being in charge, in control, and Phil is that guy, isn't he? He's been that for a long, long time. I don't think too many people say no to Phil Gould.
Yeah, that's right.
It can happen sometimes. It's happened just, I guess, in a way that his choice for coach was Wayne.
I would love to see that dynamic and how that.
Wouldn't that have been interesting? But I always felt that it didn't surprise me when that did bubble up and come to the fore.
I don't know how much truth was in that Wayne going to play on the Gus Gould.
Well, I think there's plenty of truth in it.
Oh, I don't know.
It was really interesting that imagine those two together. I always felt like that might have been what Phil Gould was angling at last year when he said Wayne Bennett wouldn't be at the Broncos this year. Well, he was obviously had a plan in place to get him there. But this is a huge game for Penrith. They've been very poor, haven't they? They just haven't lived up to the talent and the abilities they have. They're nowhere near what they could be.
Well, I mean, they're about, but they're just, as you say, they're just not finishing off, or they're letting themselves down like they did last week.
Well, they had that game by the scruff of the neck against the Sharks. They were 14-0 up. They should have won from there.
Yeah.
There's not too many teams that lose from there, although in 99, St George Illawarra lost from there.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about that. But you can lose from 14-0,
yes,
and they did. So that's a real concern, because usually, well, last year they built a reputation on coming from behind. This time they had a good lead, and they really let it slip. South Sydney, let's have a look at them. So Caleb Adkins is at fullback, and Dallin Watini Lesniak's gone to the centres for the Penrith Panthers to cover for Dean Vare. And for the Rabbitohs, Wayne's retained the same 17 from last week's 14-6 win over the Bulldogs. The great thing about Souths, and we said it last week, but they keep doing it, is they're not playing great, but they keep notching up points.
Yeah.
And this is good.
That's a Wayne Bennett style.
It's good, isn't it? It's good when you can do that.
Yeah, it is. And he realises he's got the playing group that can do that. Now, I think that's the big thing for him is, you know, his style of footy and the way he coaches suits his team, especially when you got the, you know, he's got a leader in Sam Burgess, who he's coached at an international level. So we all know that Sam Burgess is the leader in that team. So everyone's going to follow and do it. So Wayne sort of had it made for him when he went there because he had the Burgess boys there, which he did coach at an international level. So I think it's just, it is. It's all fallen into place for Wayne there. Funny that, but that's the way things work for Wayne. It seemed to have fallen into place. And so the style of footy, as you say, Joel, it's not exciting, but he's winning games, I think. And, you know, all credit to him and what he's doing there at the Rabbits. And, you know, he's got some good young players running around the place as well, and they're getting a run here and there. And I think he's gone to a club that he's pretty excited about. You know, even though he's excited to stay here in Brizzy with the young group he had here, he's done the same down there. He's probably got a bit more experience down there in the middle, and I think they'll win this game pretty easily, especially after the dilemmas at Penrith.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a lot closer than people realise. Than what you think, Steve. Look, I really do think this is a game where the Panthers have got to take it to the South Sydney forwards. They've got to try and really take it to them, yeah, in this game, because the back line for Penrith is really impressive still. I still like the look of it. I think there's a lot of tries in them if they can get it right. South Sydney don't have a Latrell Mitchell.
No.
They don't. They don't have a James Roberts, to be honest. They don't have those sort of players who can, I don't think, that can score from anywhere, can break a game open. They more grind you down and then just finish you off.
Yeah.
And they don't let you into the game. They're happy to win by 6 or 8. But I think for Penrith to win, they've got to take it to South and put a bit of pressure on South, make them chase some points. Be interesting if Penrith can get a lead in this game, see if South can claw it back. But I'm tipping South Sydney. I just can't tip Penrith on their form at the moment.
Well, Walker's on red hot, you know.
Cody Walker's one of those. Yeah, I think if South dominate, then Cody Walker and Adam Reynolds can.
Yeah, definitely.
Interesting game here coming up at Scully Park, Tamworth. I've been there many times. Yes. I used to work for the Northern Daily Leader in Tamworth, and I covered
the
West Lions there. Coach in those days by the great Tony Lattusa, who was a wonderful coach, and coached them to premierships. It's a wonderful ground to watch football at. It's a great rugby league town, Tamworth. And West hosting, well, they're not hosting, it's their home game they've taken there. They're up against the Titans. West Tigers were blown apart by Parramatta at the opening of the new stadium out there. So that's a 51-6 thrashing they copped there. Yeah. The good news is Robbie Farah has recovered from that concussion, so has Luke Garner, and they've been named to take the field. That was a glitch, Steve. Just a one-off.
Just to see poor old Madge's face in the post-match interviews, it was really sad. he wasn't happy. It was a bit, you know, doom and gloom. But it really was that. But who would have wanted to go down there and play the opening match of the new stadium against Parramatta? They just blew them off the park. And it was a great performance by Parramatta, but West Tigers have got to be utterly disappointed with what happened.
They would be. Look, I think I think it's one of those games that just comes out of the blue sometimes.
Yeah.
I remember the Broncos some years ago went down to Canberra and got beaten 56-0. And it ended a career. And I remember it ended. Steve Michaels never played for the Broncos again. He was pretty poor that day. But the Broncos then, I mean, that was just a cataclysm. But the Broncos went on a winning run. It was under Ivan Hanjak, actually.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And they went on a winning run, and they got right to the prelim final where they got beat by Melbourne. It was 2009.
Yeah, okay.
That's when it was. So it can be one of those games that just comes out of the blue, knocks you around the ears.
It does happen.
And then you can bounce back in ways and go on winning streaks. So I don't read too much into that for Wes. I do read a lot into the Titans' performance, though, over a terrible Newcastle. I mean, the game was handed to him on a plate, Steve, really. But Tyrone Roberts, you predicted this at the start of the year. Can you just talk us through? You said Tyrone Roberts was going to be the linchpin for this team,
no,
instead of Ash Taylor. But what have you been impressed with?
Well, he's his foresight with the game. You know, he reads the game. He's got a great ball on him. I mean, we saw that early in the Indigenous All-Stars game at the start of the year, and you know, and then he obviously didn't start the season for the club, and he's come back slowly, but he showed last week what talent he is. You know, obviously, you know, with his kick of the ball, but also just his foresight and what he sees in front of him, and he scored a try himself, and you know, I just think, what a great player.
He is. He's really come back and shown.
And he is. Class. He's driving this. I mean, injury ravaged team from the start last week, and a lot of fill ins across the park for the time. So it was a really good performance when you see exactly what happened. You know, obviously with James dropping out and a couple of players dropping out that day, and another, you know.
Yeah, Hipgrave and Proctor out, ruled out.
Yeah, like to come out and have a win like that. I don't know whether it shows how poor Newcastle is or. That the Titans hit the mark, and I thought, good on them. And you know, I'm going to actually back them for to win this one and go back to back wins.
Mm, so am I, Steve. I really do think that they're starting to fulfil the potential that we saw in the Titans.
Yeah.
We tipped them both for the top eight. I really loved, you know, one thing I really loved last week is a play that Bryce Cartwright got the ball and he did a lovely little tip, yeah, tip inside. I think we're seeing that. That's what Garth Brennan wants out of Bryce Cartwright: that a good all-round game and those flashes of brilliance. Those try. That was a wonderful try assist from.
Well, we all know he can do it, and I think sometimes it's around controlling that, because I think if you let him get him a free rein, he'll try and do that every play. But if he, as you said, if he sticks to just his grind footy and then brings those little pieces out every now and then, he's a great footy player.
He is. Look, yeah, I think this is going to be a close match. I wouldn't surprise me if the West Tigers win. I think on form, and the Titans deserve to go into this as favourites. I just think Robbie Farah will add a lot more to the Tigers.
We've got to remember that. He was out early.
He was out. And yeah, I just don't think they'll turn up. Madge will make sure that they're switched on for this game. They'll know if they turn up a performance like that, there'll be people not in the team the following week.
No.
And at the moment, that's not what Anthony Seibold's doing. As we come to the Broncos v Sharks game, Anthony has resisted making mass changes, but he has named Tom Dearden, the 18-year-old halfback, on the extended bench, and Matthew Lodge, who had a throat injury, he's on an extended bench and could play as well. I don't think we'll see Dearden in this game. But there's probably a shot across the bow there. We've got Tevita Pangai Jr. back to start at lock, and Jaden Sewer drops off. And he's on the extended bench, so he's been dropped according to the team that's been named. So he's one that's copped the axe here, is Jaden Sewer. But I guess it's shot across the bow naming Dearden, isn't it, in the 21?
It is. And look, it's been talked about. And, I mean, it was even commentary on the radio on the weekend. I was travelling when this game was on, and it was picked up on the commentary on the ABC about they obviously had people watching our halves, and there's just no direction. And when they said direction, they're actually looking to see if they're talking. There was no chat. There was we are, and I've had a lot of other comments from ex-players, and they're rudderless at the moment. You know what I mean? They're just parts of their game. I mean, you know, the try by Bird, you know, brilliant try, but then when I got to see a bit of it, you know, the last 20 minutes, and we're doing an attack down the right, there was just nothing happening. You know, guys getting the ball from the halves, flat-footed, you know, or with a player on top of them, and there was just no penetration. It was really disappointing to watch. I thought, well, that's not the Broncos, you know, were exciting. I thought that try, as I said, the Bird scored, was a great try, but
a bit late.
Yeah, it was very late, but you know, we should be doing that at the start of the match, and we should be, but it's in and out. There's just no direction. It's sort of, I'm bamboozled with what you watch and what you hear, and it's just like, I'm not too sure. And we spoke about this last week, that someone really needs to take this team out in the field, I'm talking about, and take it, you know, make it their own, but it's just not happening. And, you know, having a young kid like Dearden sitting there, is that a threat to the halves? I don't really think so, you know. I'm not sure. It's really confusing what's happening there at the moment, so it's interesting to see what happens. Obviously, I wouldn't make any changes, because I don't think, apart from that, you got that couple of young halves. We do have depth, but it's a team that you look at and you go, well, that's a team I'd pick. You know, especially with the forwards, and I know we got a couple coming back. But it's just a confusing place to view at the moment.
It is confusing. I think the thing is, after the game, Anthony Seibold in his press conference spoke at length about, you know, we've got these two 19-year-old props starting the game, forwards starting the game. We've got a lot of young blokes in the team. You mentioned a lot, but I thought the young blokes were the standouts in the game. Yeah. Like Payne Haas, he was the best player for Brisbane. There's no doubt about that. He was 19 years old. He backed it up. He played 80 minutes. He did everything he did the week before and more. Obviously, he did it for 15 minutes longer. So I thought he was outstanding. I thought Flegler played extremely well.
Yeah.
I thought Fifita was really good. I thought it was the young blokes that were the standouts. They're not the problem at the moment.
No.
We're not getting the best out of the experienced players.
Yeah, look, Matty Gillett.
That's including Darius Boyd, including McCulloch, although I thought he was improved. Milford and Nick Rima, none of those players could sit there next to us and say they're playing their best football. But they need to. They're being paid to play their best football, and they're not doing it.
Yeah.
And that's what the issue is at the moment, not young players. They're not the issue.
No, you're right.
It's not like they're letting them side down. Although we've seen,
well, maybe that is.
We've seen a few little missed tackles and an arm grab. You could go through the tape, and we don't get to do that. You go through the tape of the game, and you could say, "Oh, well, Payne Haas, you missed that tackle," but he doesn't miss many.
Mm.
I mean, the problem is,
Darius apparently called a meeting in the spine. Maybe
that was Cody, I think. Yeah,
maybe there should have been. Darius should have called a meeting to the senior players. I mean, that's the way it used to work back in the day. Like, you know, there's a group of senior players. Obviously, the experienced ones you just mentioned, and get those boys together, and probably be honest with each other, and they need to really lead this team.
Well, I know we've been saying the win's not far away, Steve, and you've been predicting it and hoping for it, but it hasn't happened. Look, I don't think it gets any easier for Brisbane here against Cronulla.
Cronulla just that team, aren't they?
The one thing in Brisbane's favour is that Britton Nicora, who was outstanding in that come-from-behind, great come-from-behind win by Cronulla over Penrith, he's been suspended for a game. So Scott Sorensen's come in for him. And pretty handy bloke elevated to the bench, Jason Bikuya.
I
like him. He's a good player. So the Broncos, you look at the Sharks pack, it's got Gallen, Pryor and Fifita in it. A very good young hooker in Jaden Brayley. Kurt Capel does his job. So it's an experience. It's a good mix in that pack. Bikuya off the bench. Probably not as strong a bench as Cronulla could field if they had everyone on the park. And we've seen this Bronson Sherry in the centres. You must love him, Steve, the right centre.
He does.
He's got some toe and vision.
He does, you know.
Johnson came to life in the last 20 minutes to get them home, too.
This is a real danger match
for Brisbane.
For Brisbane. you name that team. And what they did last week, I mean, that's a true Cronulla, you know. They'll just keep grinding out for the 80 minutes. And I'd like to think Brisbane are going to come good Saturday night.
You're going to tip them?
Yeah, I'm going to tip them. I really do. I think. Well, they need to, Joel. I think if they haven't been ripped through this week already, they need one. And I'll go over there and do it. But they really need a win. You know what I mean? And I just think they got them at home. They got them here on Saturday night, the Sharkies. And it's going to be a tight one. Look, we know that. Either way. So for me, I'm going to back the Broncos to have their second win of the season.
Fair enough, Steve. I'll be tipping the Sharks here. I think they look like a team that's... I just get the sense that they're going to come up here and play well. I can't tip the Broncos now until they show me that they can win a game. And then I want to see some form before I'm tipping them. But look, I think people listening to this understand that you played your whole career at the Broncos.
Yeah.
You've been very upfront about what you think needs to happen and change, but of course you would stick with them. I think it's fair enough to tip them.
Well, they're a good enough team. They just haven't realised that yet.
I think you've made some really good points, Steve, and I think the point you made just a minute ago too about this is the team you've got to pick. When you look at it, the Broncos don't have obvious choices outside of the there's probably 20 guys I look at in the Broncos.
Well, there's not much depth.
Squad, and then I see for people wondering why Anthony Seibold's not making a lot of changes. There's you got Dearden, Dargan, Pakes, O'Sullivan, and Boyd, Tanner Boyd, that is. There's five halves between them have played one game of NRL, and I think Sean O'Sullivan. So that's their part of the squad, right? The extended. Yeah. If you're looking at the 30 and the six development players, there's five there. We've got in the forwards. Why isn't he looking elsewhere? Well, I think he's got the right mix here with the young blokes, but there's Patrick Mago, who we haven't seen much of at all. Anthony Seibold hasn't. We've got Sam Tagatese, Sean Fensom, and on the books, George Fye, who's obviously been banished to South Logan. So there's nine players there. And I don't think Seibold's really looking at any of those nine, except for Dearden and maybe O'Sullivan as genuine options at the moment.
So that's what I mean. So when you've got quality, he doesn't have quality options.
He's got Richie Kennar as a winger. I don't think the wingers are the problem.
Nah.
He's got Herbie Farmworth, I think, he's in the development system. Yeah. He's a very talented player. But there's not a lot of people wondering why doesn't Anthony Seibold make a lot of changes. I don't see a lot of options in that back squad.
No, and I think that's been brutally honest there. I agree with that, Joel. He just doesn't have those quality options.
No. Okay. Well, it's a big game for Brisbane. Big game. This is just, they're all big games for Brisbane now. But look, what I worked out is basically for them to make the eight now, they need to, we've had a block of six. They need to win four from six, four from six, four from six, and then they'll make the eight. If they get 13 wins, they'll finish on 28 points. That may on last year, that wouldn't be enough. But I think in this comp, it will be. Mm-hmm. Last year was an anomaly when you had to win so many games. So that's the sort of form the Broncos need to show over the rest of this comp. And if you look at it, that's the sort of form that so far Parramatta has shown. It's not far off the sort of form that Canberra and Roosters have shown as far as winning form. Yes. So they've got to get 8 points from every block of 12.
Yeah. And you'll be thereabouts.
And then you'll be in the eight. Yeah. So that's the challenge they've got now. It's a huge challenge.
It is a huge challenge.
Okay, Sunday at Lotto Land, Seagulls hosting the Raiders. Seagulls very unlucky to lose last week. They put on everything on the line. The Raiders prevailed. Dez stuck with his team. Couple of changes on the interchange for Ricky with Emre Gula and Jack Murchie coming in. What do you make of this game, Steve? It's going to be a belter.
Oh, no. It's another one that you can't split these two teams. And obviously Manly very, very, they only just missed out last week. But I must admit, you know, the Raiders are on a bit of a roll. And that was they fought for that win last week against the Broncos. But they got there and, you know, they played some good footy, I thought, and so
your man Bateman is great again.
Oh, isn't he? As I said, Joel, it's only a couple of weeks ago I really watched him, and I realised what you probably talked about here, but with his footwork and what he does, and he's a smart footy player, and you know he showed that again against the Broncos. He got across the line, and this is going to be a tough one. I really don't know where to go with this one, but I think with Manly being at home. For me, that'll edge them forward. I'll be back in the Seagulls for this one.
Yeah, look, I really liked the Raiders. I thought Jack White, and he's doing a great job at 5'8". We saw some real class from Jarrod Croker. Chance Nickel-Klokstad, he keeps going well. The forwards just don't give you anything. They're not going to hand you the game on a plate. But then again, I like the Manly pack. I like it. I think at home, I think they were so close last week against St George, and I think at Manly they'll win this game. I've got a feeling. Cherry Evans, he's been playing really well. It's a back line that does the business, but that pack, I expect Marty Tapau to have a blinder in this game, and I think Manly will win. Finally, on Sunday we've got Knights hosting the Eels. Knights have been dreadful, Steve.
Yeah.
The biggest underachievers in the competition, apart from Brisbane, so far.
And haven't they copped it this week? With the party attitude and
I thought Nathan Brown answered that pretty well. He said there probably was one there a few years ago, and he said, when you're losing, these sort of things rear their head, So that goes with the territory, I guess.
Yeah, who would want to be a coach? But anyway, he's feeling the brunt of that at the moment. Newcastle just have really not much. there for me. They're just not showing. That's a massive turnaround if they're going to come out and win this week. So I don't think they will probably get anywhere near it. You never know. They might turn around. They've got some really good players there, but it just nothing seems to be in sync at the moment for them.
No, they're not playing like a team, are they? Like there's Callum Ponga did a lot of individual things that were great last week. You know, he's playing well. I'm not saying he's at his best, but he's playing well. But what surprises me is the lack of cohesion in the pack and in the attack. It just seems like you said about the Broncos, it's completely out of sync. But can you just talk us? I mean, you're a centre, Steve. Obviously, you must love Michael Jennings at the moment. Oh. So how good is he playing? He's turning back the clock.
He got a couple of tries in the weekend, but he looked.
Zip.
And I thought, which he hasn't in the past so much, but this year, the way he's kicked his season off, he reached, I think he's up to 143 tries now, so he's gone one ahead of me. And so that was good. You know, it's just such a great player. And to watch him on the weekend, and especially I think you go back to his second try, he's cut back inside, and someone said, oh, that's, switching the clock back to when he was playing with the Blues, back in the day. It really was. That's the way he scored his tries. He had a bit of a Laurie Daly, step back inside off the left foot, and he did that again on the weekend. In full flight, he still looked great.
He did, didn't he? That's the thing. Like, I know he's at the back end of his career, but the speed he showed off the mark, he can turn on a dime.
Yeah.
And he seems to be playing with a lot of verve at the moment. And what a player. Like, that's... Oh. We forget how good he has been.
Yeah.
And I know last year wasn't his greatest
year. No, he's probably been a little bit quiet the last couple of years for his standard. But this year he's come out with a new lease of life.
You've got to love this. I know they were running on emotion here, and they've got to be careful that they don't think it's just going to happen for them here. But I really love Sean Lane. What a signing he's been. Like, if you're looking at best signings, the best signing for the first six rounds of what they've offered your club, Sean Lane would have to be right up there, just that tough running holes and offloading.
Yeah, he's a bit of a machine. He's, he doesn't look that old either, but he's a big unit. But when I say he's big, he's tall, but he's not. But he's just one of those wiry lads, and he just has a go.
Yeah, skill.
Skill. They got to be happy with the way he's playing. But, across the park, they're doing so well. Junior Paulo, I mean, he's been, he's at the other end of that weight scale, but, geez, he's throwing himself around as well.
Yeah, I love that try he set up late in the game where he just wrestled his way in the tackle, just chucked it out the back, but he did it nicely. He just sort of bounced it down so it came up, and everything was working a treat.
Oh, everything. For Parramatta. Everything they touched on the weekend was...
It turned to gold, to blue and gold, that's for sure. Okay, well, we're both tipping the Eels here, Steve.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Well, thanks for your thoughts. We'll regroup next week and see if your Broncos can finally live up to your expectations, because you keep showing so much faith in them. I'm not showing that faith this week, Steve. Sorry, until they start performing. Anyway, that's a...
Well, I got it back, just so you know, Joel. I got it back this week. I think I'm sitting in the crowd this week. So.
Well, are you?
Yes.
You're in the crowd?
Yeah, we've got Deli Choices comp going, so I've got to sit with the family.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't usually do.
Good stuff.
Sit in the crowd.
Well, okay, so that's the end of our discussion here on the round ahead. There are other podcasts on NRL.com. There's Fantasy on Tuesdays with Chris Kennedy and Dominic Brock. And Chris Kennedy knows everything there is to know about that subject. And also on Thursdays with the Late Mail crew. We've also got another podcast on The Broader Game with Katie Brown and Alicia Newton each Thursday morning. There's the very popular Pow Wow with Sow Wow on Fridays, and the Sunday Session each Sunday night with Chris Kennedy and Craig Wing, wrapping up the round that was. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, John.